Right, this is how it's going to work. I'm going to give you 5-10 seconds to talk about VAR and then we're done with it, right? Anyone got anything they want to get off their chest? Nope, good, that was 1.5 seconds. VAR, done. This is Football Only Better.
I'm a special one.
I'm talking about facts.
I tell to them, Billy Din, Billy Don, when they are sleeping.
I'm not a dreamer, I'm football romantic.
This isn't just football, it's football, only better.
Joining us on Football Only Better, a VAR-free zone, although I've mentioned it at least 4 times already, Jake Oscarthorpe, him of the XGs and Info Goal, who loves to talk about nothing but... Really?
No, definitely not. I do like talking around football and not just the underlying numbers. Yeah.
Good, done. Away from that, I was talking about VAR, but you can talk about XGs. We'll allow that. Andy Brassel, European football expert. Hello, how's your week gone? Another league about to start.
Yes, that's right. Italy's on the way. I mean, I'm a bit worried about how the show's going to go. Now you've ripped up the show plan.
Oh, but apart that from was that, yours actually, wasn't it? Sorry. Apologise. Yes, that's done. But we will talk about the final European League we want to get hot over a little bit later. Anything you want to tell us in advance?
Mario's back. Super Mario's back.
Mario Balotelli, someone who has him as a poster, the T-shirt, the sticker album, is not Mark O'Hare, him of the Betfair expert, although... Balotelli fan, do you miss him in the Premier League?
Missed the drama, yes. The footballer probably never really reached the heights we expected, so a bit of a promise unfulfilled there.
Perhaps parts of your lives that I didn't want to know, but anything else that's happened over the last week or so in terms of the football that you'd like to talk about?
Well, Barcelona and Bayern Munich having stuttering starts, and we had a first defeat for Paris Saint-Germain last weekend as well. So, you know, if you think of those three big teams, absolute behemoths in Europe, having like 1 point between them last weekend from their 3 games, makes you wonder what Juventus going to do at Parma this weekend as they kick off their defensive, hopefully for them, yet another Serie A title.
I should explain that you can, as well as downloading this in audible form so that we can kiss your ears with all Premier League and other league goodness, you can also watch this on YouTube, and your eyebrows were fully raised at that point when you said PSG.
Yeah, I can't do the Carlo Ancelotti one eyebrow. Right. That would have been my subtle hint that Napoli have maybe got a chance, but I'm unable to perform that.
Mark, you can maybe argue that hint down or say anything else from the weekend that caught your
eye. No, I was going to kind of leap on Andy's point there, because Manchester City failed to win as well, despite being heavily odds on favourites. And if you opposed all four big favourites across Europe, it's the first time the fourth reigning champions of all four leagues had failed to win on the opening or a weekend since April 2014. It was a 165-1 shot, if you fancy that.
Wow. I mean, who would have got the Manchester City Spurs score correct? Who would have done that, Jake?
I believe you did.
Might have done that. Yeah. But Barker's Battles, I'm now actually calling it by its correct title now that we've all got a bit of a win. I got one at the weekend. We'll talk more about that right at the end of the show. For you, though, I think there's a bit of a battle you want to have over Lyon, right?
Yeah, Andy was saying before the show about how impressive Lyon have been, and I'm taking nothing away from them, because in terms of the style of play and the actual performances, they've been really impressive, obviously winning 3-0 at Monaco, 6-0 against Angers. But just a word of caution moving forward, that they have scored 9 goals from chances equating to 2.1 expected goals, which is, well, it's not going to continue throughout the season at that same level. It's going to be unsustainable. So it wouldn't be a surprise to see them perhaps struggling in a few of the upcoming games to score as many goals as they have. Mainly because they've not been creating big chances. And I know the Angers goalkeeper had a bit of a stinker on the Friday night, which probably allowed them to score 6. But yeah, just a note of caution, I'd say, for Lyon.
My counterpoint to that, Jake, would be, and you knew there would be one, is they've still got forward quality to come off the bench with Martin Terrier, Maxwell Cornet, although both of them might not stay beyond the end of the transfer window. We'll have to wait and see. Geoffrey Adelaide, who just signed from Angers for €25 million, formerly of Arsenal, of course. He's going to add a bit of punch, a bit of flair to the midfield. They had a gentleman's agreement that he couldn't play in that 6-0. So that could have been even worse for Angers if he'd have been available. The other thing is, where I take XG with a pinch of salt when it comes to Lyon is the fact that they have the best goalkeeper in the division. So I always feel they'll outperform their XG to a certain extent with the quality forward players they've got and the fact they've got Anthony Lopez between the posts.
Yeah, that could well be the case. And I know something that we both agree on is that we think that Lyon will be PSG's closest challengers this season in France.
That was all too nice to end. I was enjoying that for a moment. I had my feet up. You pumped up that cushion, Mark.
No, I can only kind of sit in between the two of them, because I watched the game against Monaco on the opening weekend, and let's just say Lyon weren't 3-0 winners in that game by, you know, what they did on the pitch. I don't know if you disagree there, Andy, but last weekend I was very impressed with what they did. So, yeah, I'm kind of sat in between the two of them here, Caroline.
Oh, okay. All right. Anything Thanks, else sister. That you'd like to wind each other up about? And by that, I mean Aston Villa. I'm not laughing for any other Aston Villa fans, but
Andy, this has to be a Villa-free zone this week, surely. I mean, that absolutely killed me on my debut on Barker's Battles.
Yeah.
Or Barker's Brilliance, if we're going to call it, if you're just going to win every week.
I mean, you might say that. Who am I to argue against you? Aston Villa, Everton, that is the game of the weekend that we'll talk for about 4 hours about coming up as we review and preview everything to do with the Premier League on Football Only Better. Betting.betfair to hear more from all our team. Jake's with me, Mark and Andy. We're going to go full on into the Premier League. I promised you, given that you fell at Aston Villa, that we'd talk about that. That is the first TV game of the weekend, or the Friday night game, Villa-Everton. But it's Liverpool-Arsenal, Jake, where we look to and think goals, goals, goals of the XG variety and above.
You would think that, yes, but the InfoGoal model actually disagrees this week.
we start that bit again.
Yeah, no, but purely based on value. Obviously, both teams to score and over 2.5 are really short this week. The InfoGoal model thinks it will be a Liverpool win, around 63% chance of that happening. But yeah, just laying both teams to score or backing both teams to score now at around 6-4, which equates to around 40% chance. And the InfoGoal model calculates there's a 45% chance of both teams not scoring this game. One of the main reasons for that is obviously Liverpool's defensive process at the start of this season hasn't been quite up to scratch, but last season they were the second best defensive team, according to expected goals behind Manchester City. And surprisingly, we've not been that impressed by Arsenal. There's been a lot of hype around them about the performances of people like Dani Ceballos, Willock in the midfield last week against Burnley. But they're actually really fortunate to beat Burnley 2-1, losing the XG battle 2-1 to Burnley, which is a bit of a worry, showing that the defensive issues still haven't been solved. And if you take the fact they've played Newcastle, who we all expect to be struggling at the end of the season, and Burnley, you would expect to be a bottom half team, they've actually only generated 2.2 expected goals, which is really cause for concern given the attacking powers that they have in the team.
Who'd have thought, Andy, that David Luiz would come in and they wouldn't sort the defensive problems at Arsenal?
Well, he is capable of being a great defender. He just isn't in every game. You know, when you hear about the reasons why David Luiz is signed for Arsenal, you talk about leadership, personality. I don't think anyone's really said defending. And because of where Arsenal were...
What is he now? What's his position?
Legend. Oh, right. that's his position. Right. But I think that's the idea. I think with both him and Dani Ceballos, as Jake was talking about, that sort of extra bit of aggressiveness, that's really important. I think that's what Arsenal have really missed for quite a long time. So if there's anything that makes me think that they could get something out of this game, it's that extra little bit of personality. That's what Arsenal have really lacked, especially on recent visits to Anfield, where on a couple of occasions they've been absolutely hammered.
Stuffed. And we will see all three Golden Boot winners at the weekend, barring anything happening. Mark, where's some value in this one for you?
Liverpool win and over 2.5 goals is my best bet for this game. It's 1.95, which I think is a great angle to take, really. I think when you think of Liverpool-Arsenal, you think of goals. That's backed up by the stats, 35 goals in the last 7 meetings. Liverpool have scored 22 in the last 6 at Anfield against Arsenal. 10 of those came in the first 20 minutes. So, you know, it's always kind of followed the same principle, really. Liverpool just blitzed them from the start. The Arsenal's last 6 away games at Man City and Liverpool, losing at half-time, losing at full-time, over 3.5 goals in 5 of those games as well. So, you know, Arsenal, for me, are still a lot to prove, especially defensively. They went off 7-1 for this game in December. You know, not so long ago, they lost that match 5-1. Now, the markets are definitely giving them a bit more credit coming into this game. They're 6.6, but they're away record at big six teams, winless in 20, losing 11 of the last 14 as well. So, and again, just go on that defensive point. They kept one clean sheet away from home last year. That was away at Watford, who went down to 10 men after 10 minutes.
Yeah.
How are they going to cope against Liverpool, who I agree haven't been at their best so far, but if there's going to be a game to step up to the plate, it's surely this weekend, and I think Liverpool win this with room to spare.
I mean, possibly we could just end it there and give no hope at all. But I do think that there is that glimmer of light. There are a few players that have stood up where you could, if you were an Arsenal fan, she says through gritted Spurs teeth. But if you're an Arsenal fan, you could look at this one and think, nice little away day. Something might happen at 5:30 on Saturday.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the obvious standout is Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, who's pretty much started the season where he left off. Although scoring against, like I said, Newcastle and Burnley is a different proposition to scoring against a Liverpool team who were so solid last season. He'll be key in this game if they are to do anything. Lacazette the same, if he gets the nod. Them two are the main real threats to cause problems. And Nicolas Pepe, I like what he saw last week when he came on against Burnley. He was very direct when he had the ball at his feet, which potentially could cause Liverpool problems. You know, I know Van Dijk is very rarely dribbled past, but Matip or Gomez on the other side, he could maybe head for them.
And Pepe comes from a background of playing for a counter-attacking team with Christophe Galtier's Lille. He's going to get the opportunity to do that this weekend. And, you know, that's really why he's playing to his strength by playing Premier League football.
How do you deal with, and is it fair to say they've got an inferiority complex, Andy, when it comes to heading to Anfield? How do Arsenal deal with that side of it?
I think it's difficult, but like what I saw, and I accept their shortcomings absolutely, as Jake said, against Burnley. But in this context, the boot is on the other foot because nothing's really expected of them. And I do think when you look at someone like Ceballos, is a real leader already. David Luiz falls into the same boat. Lacazette does as well. Of course, he didn't play in the match at Anfield last year, and that was a dreadful decision to leave him out, and something that Unai Emery was widely panned for. Guys who work that much can lead by example. And the thing we saw with Ceballos, he looked like a guy who hasn't played much over the last 2 years in the nicest possible way, because it was as if he was fed on raw meat. You know, he was so desperate to win every challenge. And, you know, he just played exactly as he did in the Euro under-21s with the same level of commitment and the same level of technical quality.
That's where we went wrong. Our pre-game chat, Mark, we were talking about actually other nations that you could have played for. If you'd gone for the raw meat option, you'd have been first up, first name on the team sheet.
I don't want to be too negative about Arsenal, but the Ceballos thing...
You're just going to completely dodge my raw meat. Fine, go on.
It's just the Ceballos thing. I know he was outstanding. We know he's a great footballer. We've seen that in the last 12 months. Admittedly, not enough at Real Madrid. That's why he's playing in the Premier League. But the focus last week was on Arsenal winning and Ceballos being fantastic. The focus should have been on, actually, Arsenal was second best in the game at home to Burnley. They lost the shot count. They lost the shots in the box count, the XG count. You know, that's not acceptable, really.
XG over there, yeah. He's spot on. Burnley were really unfortunate away.
I'm done. I'm fine. I'm done. Any other value in this for you, Andy?
Well, I still fancy Liverpool as much as anyone else. And I agree with Mark in that it's just getting past that first 20 minutes, half an hour, is absolutely vital for Arsenal, because a characteristic of Liverpool, not just in the Klopp era, you go back to Brendan Rodgers, Liverpool at their best, flame teams from the start at Anfield. So Arsenal have got to go completely against type and try and be steady for that first 30 minutes.
Liverpool, Arsenal, forget lasagna. It's all about the raw meat. If you want to know a bit more about how these lot come to their conclusions and what we do at Betfair too, just head to betfair.com/how-to-exchange for a bit more on how to do what they do. Jake, I don't like being negative on Arsenal. Oscar Thorpe is here. He loves it. We've also got Andy. I've just called you out. Apologies from InfoGoal. Andy Brassel here, European football expert. And Mark O'Hare. Anything I can actually call you out on?
Thankfully, no.
Until now. Because we're going to talk about Norwich, Chelsea, and underlined, highlighted how much we love him. Teemu Pukki has just done what he did in the Championship, Andy. He is a delight.
And it's really, really surprising. I guess partly because I didn't watch that much of the Championship last year. But you know, having seen him in Germany, a little bit of him in Scandinavia, didn't really come off for him at Celtic, that he's been able to transfer what he's done to the top flight. Okay, maybe he won't do it for the entire season. But the quality of his runs, the composure of his finishes, does, I think, show a lot of hope for Norwich. And with Norwich, the fact that there's been no real blip, they totally know who they are and how they want to play, and I think that helps Pukki enormously.
And they're holding then a mirror up to themselves, and Chelsea probably having a look through that two-way mirror Mark, Jake, and thinking, if we had a bit more of that togetherness and that sort of balance that they've been able to bring up from the Championship.
Yeah, absolutely. I think this is a real banana skin for Chelsea. There were promising signs at Old Trafford, promising signs again in the Super Cup, promising signs again in the first half against Leicester. But whatever's happening at half-time, there seems to be a drop-off. I think there's a lack of balance between the midfield. They're not solid enough at the back. I think Jorginho and Kante have looked a little bit laboured against Leicester, and I know you can put down the Istanbul trip to as a potential reason for that, but there's times when Lampard has said he wants to play attacking football. He had Emerson and Kante joining the attacking midfield three and a striker, and they were just getting completely exposed on their counter-attack by Leicester in the second half. And yeah, I do think this is a real banana skin, really. Norwich deserving winners against Newcastle last weekend. I know they conceded two pretty decent chances in the first half, but soon took control. And I think, you know, we saw at Anfield in the first game of the season what they're going to be about this year. They're going to attack teams. They're going to show plenty of attacking intent. And I think they can give Chelsea a bloody nose this weekend. You know, Chelsea are odds on 1.84 to win away. It's not for me. It's certainly a laying opportunity, you know, basically backing against Chelsea winning that match. Alternatively, for me, I like the look of Norwich double chance and over zero goals, which is basically 2.2. So you're backing Norwich not to lose in a game that doesn't end 0-0. Chelsea only won 9 away games since the start of last season in the Premier League. I think they're weaker on paper. I think they're weaker in the dugout, and I think Norwich are primed to give them a really good game.
The only caveat to all of that, and yes, great workings out, but he takes time, Lampard. He took a bit of time at Derby, and they are they buying into it? Are you saying you don't get that the team are buying into what he wants?
No,
to
I certainly think they are, and they're attempting to, but I still question
right
marks
players.
Over Lampard. Lampard last year under Derby completely overperformed. Jake will tell you about the expected goals. Derby had three fantastic individuals who scored long ranges throughout the season. Without them, Derby would be nowhere, really. And the crux of their team were, or the spine of their team were loan players. Mm. You know, Derby shouldn't have finished sixth in the Championship last year. And I don't think Chelsea are going to be too good for quite a while yet.
Yeah, so just picking up on the XG point there. Derby finished sixth, but they ranked as only the 13th best team in the league on in for goals expected goal table. So it was quite a dramatic overperformance. And you mentioned the long-range shots that Derby were taking through Harry Wilson and Tom Lawrence, people like that. And they were scoring more than would be expected, which is why they finished so high. I think Mark's been looking at my notes because I've got pretty much identical stuff written down here. They're flying out the blocks in these games against Manchester United and Leicester. They were so good in the first 20 minutes with the high press, and they were really hard to play against. And then it just seems as though whether the players aren't quite up to the level of fitness Lampard wants them, but they just seem to drop off in the second half, which is a real worry. And then my other big worry for Chelsea is Lampard's substitutions. He seems very reactive rather than proactive. Against Leicester in the second half, everyone knew that there was a goal coming. You could feel it. Leicester was so on top. But Lampard waited until after the goal to then make his subs and freshen it up, by which point Leicester were even more in the ascendancy. I agree with Mark. I think this is a real banana skin for Chelsea. There's no value in backing them to beat Norwich here. My bet is going to be Teemu Pukki, score any time. He's scored 4 goals from 2.3 expected goals, so he's running a little bit hot. But as Andy said, his movement is exceptional, and he's finding really lovely pockets to get on the end of chances, and he's finishing them with aplomb at the minute.
I think that's the problem, isn't it, with Chelsea? You can see them playing well and not getting the result, which is what we've seen so far. But yeah, as you say, Jake, like the idea of them pressing and not having a plan to conserve energy in the middle part of the game, that's been their problem so far. Every team who plays with a press has a way of dropping off and either dropping deep and keeping their shape or just keeping possession and slowing the game down like Spain did in the 2010 World Cup. There's got to be a way to conserve energy in the middle part of a game so you can finish strongly, which they haven't been able to do, and they were lucky to hang on for that point against Leicester in the end.
So you're saying lucky old Chelsea. I don't know, I just got a feeling that there'll be goals in this one, and there could be, amazing to say, there could be an upset and Chelsea could go and win it at Norwich. You are, and I am, perhaps maybe you're just the romantic and think 12:30 on a Saturday, we might see a bit more than the stats would have us believe. Anyone else want to find any value in this before we kick on to the rest of the team?
The only thing I'd say is just picking up on the same point we've talked about there. Chelsea have already conceded 5 goals in the final half hour of games, so it might be an in-play opportunity if the game is locked level, you know, with an hour played.
Norwich, Chelsea then, the 12:30 on the Saturday. Coming up next, if you're listening to our audio podcast, if you've downloaded, subscribe, hit the like if you can, or if you're watching us on YouTube, you can subscribe there too. We'll run through the rest of the TV games from the weekend and find some more value from the best of the rest. This is Football Only Better. On Sunday, the two corkers for the TV games, I've gone early with the corkers, haven't I? Bournemouth up against Manchester City is the 2 o'clock kickoff, then Tottenham at Newcastle at 4:30. Can we do this about face, or you can take this anywhere you like? Joel Linton and Almiron need time to gel. Is that time to gel going to come, Jake Oscarthorpe, against Spurs at White Hart Lane?
Quite simply, no. that's nothing against Joel Linton and Almiron, because I think they're both really talented players. It's just the system that Newcastle are playing at the minute. They're just isolated. The two of them are just, they're just stuck out there by themselves. They're playing a flat back five pretty much with three midfielders in front. And they find it really difficult to create good chances for what are two promising players.
That's right. And they need that athleticism in midfield if they're going to really link the back half and the front half of the team. And Jonjo Shelvey, for all his excellent passing, and we know he has long range shooting, he's not able to get about the pitch as quickly. So that's a bit of an issue for them. I presume they'll bring Longstaff back into the 11 this weekend. They really have to do that. And they should have done that at Norwich last weekend. But I think it's difficult for Joel Linton. It's slim pickings at the moment. Of course, he did miss that very good chance when it was still 0-0. But, you know, he's just feeding off scraps at the moment. And that is really, really tough when you're trying to adapt to a new league.
Was it the right move for him, Andy?
No. I don't think it was, because I think he's someone who is a good player, who's not a guarantee of 15 or 20 goals, who's still learning really the game at the top level in Europe. And, you know, they've placed a lot of pressure on him by paying that much money for him.
And as a European football expert, then where would you have sent him?
That's a tough choice. For Newcastle's perspective, I would have stuck with Solomon Rondon. I mean, you're talking about someone who would have cost less than half the price, who knows the Premier League backwards and maybe doesn't have the same long-term upside. Like, Joel Linton can become a much better player, I think, than Solomon Rondon. But in short term, what do Newcastle need? They just need goals. That's all they need. And he's someone who would have been able to provide a certain number for them.
Just need goals. Mark O'Hare, this is going to be Tottenham, what, for three? Newcastle not to score this weekend.
Yeah, pretty much.
All right,
it's
done.
Spurs, I kind of slagged them off a little bit last week, probably a little bit unfairly, and they were pretty fortunate to get that result, let's just say. Eriksen Vertonghen's future is still up in the air, but I think they're looking stronger this weekend, certainly in attacking areas at least. They're actually only shorter in the betting at home against Burnley and Huddersfield last season. And that's a reflection on Newcastle now being joint favourites for relegation, you know, 2 weeks into the season. If you look at their record under Rafa at the Big Six, 11 defeats from 12 last season, away against the Big Six since promotion, 12 defeats from 12, failed to score in half of those, lost by two or more goals in half of those, conceded two goals or more 9 times. So
I like the way you've left room for interpretation there.
it's if that's under Rafa, you're going to have to be a bit concerned about what they're going to do under Steve Bruce. He called them in for extra training on Sunday, which I can't imagine went down well with the players or their families. He wasn't happy with their movement off the ball in defensive shape as well. So for me, there's quite a few alarm bells over Newcastle. Spurs at home against the bottom half, you know, just tend to deliver 78% win ratio under Mauricio Pochettino. So for me, it's a comfortable Spurs win, -1.5 on the Asian handicap.
Is it comfortable for Manchester City in the earlier kickoff then at Bournemouth?
I think it's always going to be comfortable for Manchester City against most teams. We saw the gap in the competitiveness of this Premier League last week when the apparent best team in the league played the third best team. We saw in the betting before the week how big favourite City were for that game. They've won about 50 games from 58 away against the bottom half teams. My issue really with Bournemouth is it's not really an issue because I applaud them for it, but they try to go toe-to-toe with these big teams. It rarely works. I think they've lost 15 of the last 22 home games against the Big Six as well.
If you were a Bournemouth fan, what would you rather?
I'd definitely give the game a go. You know, I wrote a piece about Norwich giving it a go at Anfield, and, you know, need to be applauded for that. I'd rather my team went out and tried to win a game than try and pick up a point. I think in the long run, you're more likely to survive if you're picking up 3 points more often than not than 1 point. You know, I think it's probably kamikaze and probably naive in certain situations, but I'd certainly, as a supporter, want my team to go out and attack teams.
Well, Bournemouth have already been there, haven't they? I mean, they ceded possession and they tried to play really defensively against City last year. I mean, what did they have? Something like 15% of the ball?
Bournemouth didn't have a shot.
Exactly, and they still didn't get anything from it. So, yeah, you have to stay true to type, I think.
Yeah, it was that game last season that Guardiola called the perfect performance, just because they didn't concede any shots whatsoever, which is quite incredible, away from home especially. But yeah, in this game, don't see anything other than a Manchester City win, really. As Mark said, they were extremely unfortunate last week against Tottenham. I mean, Tottenham scored two from, well, it says three shots, but Harry Kane had one from in his own half to make up the three. So effectively two shots, they scored three goals, which was 0.12 total expected goals, which is, you know, to get... I did some stuff post-game and they had an 82% chance of not scoring at all from those chances that they created, showing just how fortunate they were to get two. And a post-simulation of the game, like 10,000 simulations, Tottenham would have won the game 0.1% of the time and drew just 4.9% of the time, showing just how one-sided the game was and how fortunate Tottenham were. As Mark said, it shows the gulf between Tottenham and Manchester City. In this game, the gulf between Manchester City and Bournemouth is even greater. So a comfortable Manchester City win. And I think it's just a question of how many they want to score, really. Bournemouth's approach will dictate that, no doubt. If they sit in and defend, it might be a 1 or 2-0. If they actually try and go toe-to-toe, it could be cricket score.
You know I'm all about the XG, right? I take you home when I'm doing a flat pack and get you to work out how many screws I need right at the end and whether what the expected gain for me putting them in. But... is the real joy of this going to come when Manchester City play Newcastle, given that Newcastle in the past couple of games have what, had no shots, they've scored, but barely the keepers had to make a save. And then when they come up against Manchester City, it's going to be 99.9% possession, isn't it?
Pretty much, yeah. That unfortunately, I say unfortunately, but we are at the stage now where the Premier League is becoming like La Liga, Serie A, Bundesliga, like we've come to know, and the dominance of Manchester City. They're just playing on a different level in terms of actual performances. The football that they're playing is incredible, and their underlying numbers they're posting are just unfathomable, really.
Infogoal for all the latest info on how to work out the XGs, where they come from, and where they end up to. Thank you, Jake. Anything else from the rest of the weekend, though? So we've done the TV game. So Bournemouth-Man City, that's the early one on the Sunday. Wolves-Burnley, it all kicks off with Aston Villa-Everton on the Friday night, but we decided we're not really going to talk about that one. The other games to look at, Brighton-Southampton, Manchester United-Crystal Palace, Sheffield United-Leicester City, Watford-West Ham. Who wants to give us anything before we move on to Serie A?
I like Burnley. Wolves. I think you look at Wolves so far, they're still looking for a win. And as Jake was saying, Burnley were pretty unlucky at Arsenal, having won that first game pretty efficiently, it's fair to say, against Southampton. They create difficulties, and Wolves will be a little bit anxious to get that win. They will have put a lot into the game against Manchester United, plus they'll have played in the Europa League at Torino on Thursday night, going into this Sunday game. I reckon if it's 3.5 for the draw, but you can lay Wolves at 1.9 as well, which I like.
How to exchange via betfair.com/how to exchange. If you want to find out all about laying, what's behind it, how you can get involved as well, to find out a bit more on the how to when it comes to Betfair. Is he right, though?
I think so, yeah. I think from a travelling perspective, it's very difficult. Wolves have been handed a very harsh schedule this week. So for me, for a manager like Nuno, who does like his time on the training ground to drill his players, prepare his team as well, I think.
And pick the same team.
Yes, exactly. So I think they're already at a disadvantage.
Mark, anything else from the weekend?
I like the look of both teams to score. Brighton, Southampton, it's 9-10, 1.9. Brighton actually bigger to beat Southampton than they were against West Ham last week, which is quite strange considering how they dominated that game, if not on the scoreline, certainly in chances created. I think we've seen with Potter, his team are going to attack teams, get forward, and Hasenhüttl as well. He's not going to take a step back either. So I think two teams going for it, I think could be goals in that game. So for me, the only issue really is Saints, you know, same old problems of not converting their chances. But yeah, hopefully both teams score.
And Jake, when you're not putting my flat pack together?
Badly, that is.
Yeah.
I'm worried for Crystal Palace this week. They were really poor at Sheffield United. And I mean really poor. To generate just 0.3 expected goals at a newly promoted team and concede two, that is alarm bells ringing. I do think this game will suit them slightly more because they'll be able to play on the counter-attack, which we know they're really effective at, with people like Zaha, Andros Townsend.
Yeah, we laid everything on Zaha last week, though, didn't we? We said he was going to be the one that would give them a bit more of an opportunity.
Yeah,
he can't
really
lay that one on Jake. He wasn't there.
I can and I will.
But no, I think the bet in that game is over 2.5 because the way Man United are playing is so open. They'll score goals, they'll create chances against what is looking like a weak Crystal Palace defence. But I wouldn't be surprised to see Palace maybe nick a consolation on a counter-attack. So over 2.5, about, I think it's 8-11.
All right. Plenty more then on our website. You can find out the latest from Mark too. We can read your column on there. And Andy, of course, our European football expert. But you can hit subscribe and find out every week with a handy guide. Fit us in your pocket. You can listen to us in your ears or watch us via YouTube too. On football, only better. Right, there's another league starting this weekend, and it's put a big old smile on Andy Brassel's face.
Well, it's the one we've been waiting for because it's kept us waiting the longest. So we've not had an option. You know, we've talked about at the top of the show about how a lot of leagues have become dominated by one particular team, and Jake's talking about maybe the English Premier League going in the same direction. We've got a little bit of hope in Germany. We've got a little bit of hope in Spain. I think we've got a little bit of hope in Italy as well. I mean, I don't think anyone should be necessarily rushing to back against Juventus, but there are a few little issues with them. Firstly, having started the transfer window very nicely and got in Matthijs de Ligt, it's not really finished in the way they've wanted. Certainly at the moment, there's still a couple of weeks to go, but they're still looking to shift players. And there's a lot of players there who are not going to get a game and create discontent. I think you look at Dybala, who knows that the club want to sell him. You look at Gonzalo Higuain, and that's right, he's back. And they could really do with getting him off the wage bizarre bill. They're going to commute to a completely different style under Maurizio Sarri, who's ill at the moment. He's got pneumonia, so he probably won't even be on the bench for the first game at Parma. And then you look at the competition. The fact that the only one of the top teams that's kept their coach is Carlo Ancelotti at Napoli. I think that makes an enormous difference. He's going to know the team a little bit better this year, and they're going to know him a little bit better, which more importantly, perhaps. And of course, there's the big spectre of Antonio Conte at Inter. And he always wins a title in his first season. You know, he did it at Juventus, he did it at Chelsea, and he will be gunning for Juventus, especially with the kind of acrimonious way in which he's left. And, you know, he's someone who's not worried about upsetting big names or big egos. You know, he's come in there straight away. He said to Nainggolan, okay, I'm not interested in you. He said to Icardi, I'm not interested in you. And just pruned these guys out. Other coaches don't have that kind of clout, but Conte does.
He has done a great job of cutting down our preview to Serie A. So I'm going to give all three of you, Jake Oscarthorpe, Marco Hare, I'm going to give you an opportunity then to find me some gems that I should either be looking ahead to this weekend or throughout the season from Serie A.
I'm quite keen on Inter this season. I think they've signed players who do fit the mould. They'll play a 3-5-2 under Conte, and you're not going to find a better three in defence than Diego Godin, De Vrij and Skriniar. I think they're fantastic. Lukaku as well, I expect him to adapt. Andy's mentioned Conte's impact. And, you know, the last 12 Scudettos were won by the team with the best defence. I don't see Juventus, you know, potentially getting that title this year because, not necessarily the Scudetto, but the best defence, you know, under Sarri, which is a gamble. We have to admit that, you know. Juventus are so in tuned with winning at all costs. Now it's going to be, we have to win beautifully, and it might take time to gel. So whilst I wouldn't want to oppose them, I think if you take Juventus out of the picture, potentially look at Inter to win Serie A without Juventus. They're a bigger price for Napoli, who I think have upgraded defensively with Manolas, but I still think they're a little light up top. If they do get Icardi, I might reconsider, but at the moment, I don't see that happening. But at the moment, I think Inter could run Juve reasonably close.
We should hang that over everything. Is September the 2nd various points during the day when the European transfer window shuts, Jake?
Yeah, I do quite like Inter Milan. I think they'll be a top four for pretty much nailed on. But the bet that we've picked out that I think is really good value is Atalanta to finish in the top four again. We tipped them up last year at 10-1 and they managed to do it on the last day of the season. The squad has remained pretty much the same apart from centre-back Gianluca Mancini heading off to Roma. The main, or the crucial thing for me is that they've kept hold of Duvan Zapata, Josip Ilicic and Alejandro Gomez. They're all still there. They're the three averaged over 0.6 expected goal involvements per 90 last season, which is pretty incredible. They were the best attacking team in the league last season. And they're actually 13-5 to finish in the top four, which is a big prize. Obviously, they have the Champions League football to contend with this season, but they have brought in a few more squad players, such as Luis Muriel to almost, let's just say, like, spread the load a little bit in terms of attacking talent. So yeah, they're one team that we're really keen on, and at the other end, we're not big fans of Parma at Infogol.
Why?
They ranked as the worst team in the league on expected goals last season, despite finishing, I think, 14th. Worst defensive process in the league. The manager stayed the same, which we see as a negative because it's highly likely that that process is going to be replicated into this season. And there's been a really high turnover of players as well, which could also be seen as a negative. Like we've seen with Aston Villa so far, they've really struggled to gel. And they're 17-10 for the drop.
So the fixture gods have played well with Juventus then. They're away to Parma, first off.
I would imagine they're very short price favourites.
They are. Andy, anything else we should be looking at with your European football expert or anything else expert hat on? AFC Wimbledon?
No, we're staying clear of them this week.
But when it comes to Serie A?
With Serie A, I think a lot of eyes are away from the big teams this weekend because you've got Cagliari versus Brescia on Sunday night. Normally you'd think, okay, it's a game. But this one is going to pit Nainggolan against Balotelli. Whether Balotelli's fit enough to play...
I didn't mention. Well done. Balotelli back. Everyone should talk about that, right?
Exactly. And he's back with his hometown club. And when he rung his mum and told her that he'd made the move, she cried over the phone. She's delighted to have Super Mario home. And so are they. He's playing at quite a big hometown discount. He's very keen to get out there and put down some roots after quite an itinerant sort of journey over the last couple of years. And Nainggolan, also going back to where his heart is in Cagliari, is where he met his wife, who's ill at the moment, so she'll be able to spend more time with his family. But he's a guy who, they're being quite ambitious this season, Cagliari. They're pushing up towards those European places. And the fact that they're going to have Nainggolan probably playing, I would imagine, at the tip of the diamond as a sort of number 10. He can run right there. He could give them a little something. So I would take not just Cagliari to win this game, but maybe to be a surprise European contender.
Okay, two things. On Football Only Better, we like to look at maybe everything around. So Balotelli, I apologise for the noise that came out of my mouth then. It was pure Essex.
Understandable.
I enjoyed every moment of it. But we will look, of course, to each of these leagues each weekend and try and pick out the best value too. But coming up next, we're putting you all to the test, right? It is Barker's Battles. For 1 week only, renamed that. When I lose this week, it won't be any of the above. And it will be Jake's fault. Okay, before we say our goodbyes then, this weekend, where are the true value moments? Where are those moments when everyone's going to stand up and say, blimey, you know what you're talking about, Andy Brassel?
Well, hopefully you'll be tuned in on Saturday night. It's free. It's on the television. It's Benfica versus Porto. And it's a hugely early point in the season for us to have such a massive game. El Clásico is the biggest game in Portugal. Benfica and Porto are the only two contenders for the Portuguese title. With all due respect to Sporting, they're just not there. Benfica are the champions and they've started this season like it. They won 5-0 in the Super Cup. They won 5-0 in their first league game against Passos de Ferreira as well, and then they won 2-0 at Belenenses last weekend. They've not conceded a goal, and they're going for a record of starting a season without conceding for the first four games, which would be another step forward for Bruno Lage. They're 2.0 to beat Porto. And now Sergio Conceição, they've been knocked out of the Champions League by Krasnodar. He's still searching for his best 11 after a few departures. You've had Brahimi, Herrera going. Iker Casillas is obviously indisposed at the moment, though Machacin, the new goalkeeper who's come on, has been very well. Benfica get busy at the Estadio de Luz, and I think this is nailed on for them.
Mark, Jake, you will learn and probably have learned. I let Andy go first so that he can use up all the time. So all we have to do is not explain why we've done what we've done. So I'm going to go Liverpool over 2.5 goals against Arsenal, even though I had a dream last night that's going to finish 2-2. How much value is in that for me, Mark?
1.95.
Yeah, see?
Yeah.
I should really go for the 2-2, shouldn't I? Mark, where are you going?
Same game as you stole my bet.
Can I just say, though, I did actually come up with a bet at the same time.
Well, you did. Great actually, minds.
Yeah, we'll say great minds now, and when we're both proved wrong, ridiculous. Why did I follow you?
Well, I'm going to tinker it. I'm going to take Liverpool to win and beat ETS at a bigger price. It's around 2.6, so I know we're relying on Arsenal to score, but in a game that's, you know, history says is full of goals, I'm hoping we get a bit of a ding-dong battle with a Liverpool win.
Jake, you've already disagreed with all of that, so where are you going?
I'm looking at the vitality this week, Manchester City at Bournemouth. Manchester City nailed on to win for me. I think it'll be probably similar to last season, a 1-0 or a 2-0, so I'm taking Man City to win and under 3.5 goals at 11-8.
How confident are you?
Very.
I like your confidence.
I had a winner last season. Last week, sorry.
Last season. I had a winner last season. Yeah, yeah. And I will stick by that. Did you get that tattooed?
Yes, it's on the back.
Yeah, underneath it. I haven't commented on your shirt or your appearance this week. I apologise, and I shouldn't do that because it is demeaning. But go to youtube.com and follow us, subscribe for more of Jake's shirts. For more information on how they do what they do too, go to betting.betfair. And that's for your blog, which is well worth a read, Mark. But betfair.com/how-to-exchange to find out a bit more about what they do and how. From all of us, remember to gamble responsibly, and we'll see you next week. Bye for now.